Turn to the book of Luke. I'm going to continue in this 3 or 4 part series called The Greatest Miracle. Last week we started in Luke chapter 1 in verse 5, talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth. We went all the way down to verse 18 and 19 and 20. And so from there we'll pick up. Father, I thank you now for the word of God. Thank you for the truth, Lord, in that Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Thank you, O God, for the bands that will be broken, the chains that will fall off, Lord of understanding, emotions, and otherwise, as your word is spoken. So let your word have free course now in the hearts of your people, that they might be fed by the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So I want to back up a little bit and kind of revisit so we can come forward. Last week we talked about Zacharias's response to the word of God. The word of God as it came off the angel's lips. Zacharias said in verse 18, Luke 1:18, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. For some reason, Zacharias questioned God's good news that he had sent by the angel. You know, people respond differently to the same message or to the word as it comes from God. You ever notice that? That people respond differently. I remember being in the gymnasium years ago when I was working out quite a bit, and there were two gentlemen who were working out and everything, and the Spirit of God, I remember, you know, some instances where it's just you just don't forget. The Spirit of God really came on me that day to speak the gospel in the gym. And I'm speaking to these two gentlemen, and one guy literally is standing there. He's bawling his eyes out in this gymnasium because the word of God is hitting him. It's coming at him, and he's responding to it. And the other guy is hearing the exact same word, and he's as cold as a stone sitting there. And I'm watching this, and I'm saying to myself, and I'm bringing the word, but I'm watching it, and I'm looking at the response, and I'm thinking, wow, I just never forget that. That when people hear the word of God, that there are different responses. And so Zacharias, who's just received a word from God that is, it's not out of the mainstream. God's done what he just declared, I'm going to do to you. But Zacharias begins to question it, you see. Also, we note that there's a consequence for not believing God's word. Hello? I said there's a consequence for not believing God's word. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24 through 20, he said it this way. He says, if any man hears these words of mine and obeys me and builds his house upon a rock, his house is going to last. He says, but if any man hears these words of mine and does not do as I've said, he'll be like a man who built his house upon the sand. And though he got his house built, you know, a house built on the sand is only temporary. Because when the rains come and the winds blow, it says that the sand shifted and great was the fall of that house. Right? So there's a consequence for not believing the word of God. Right? We see that in this passage of scripture. Because the angel said to Gabriel, but behold, you will be mute. What was Zacharias' consequence? You will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place. So at least 9 months, perhaps 10, 11, maybe even a year take place. Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Listen, when God speaks, his words will be fulfilled. They will be. And then the angel says this, in their own time. How many have ever had God speak? You feel like God said something to you. He spoke. He revealed. He communicated something. And then you get to running with it. So I had to ask myself, whose time are you living in? I'm talking, this bird come to me before it comes to you. I said, because the angel said it's going to be fulfilled in its own time. But a lot of times I like to get in my own time. Huh? Oh, I don't believe you. Come on now. I remember sitting and the prophet had just got done prophesying over me, and it was a good word. And I remember jumping about the chair going, glory to God, who want this? You know, and God probably was saying, sit down, boy. Shut up. Because I'm jumping up thinking it's time, it's time. And it wasn't time. All right. So now we're going to jump down. Let me read through it so we can stay in context. It says in verse 21, of the people waiting for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. One would think that Zacharias is probably in there saying, how am I going to tell the people I can't talk? This is going to be crazy. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his house. I'd love to make a movie just of Zacharias coming home to his house. Elizabeth coming out. Hey, honey. Come on, Zach. Quit playing around. How you doing? How was the service? Zach, stop playing. What? Come on, talk to me. And, you know, that whole, that had to have been a scene. Now, after those days, his wife, Elizabeth, conceived. That would be interesting. And she hid herself 5 months. What happened to her was so good. Listen, typically, when you read through the scriptures, people hide themselves for one of two reasons. Typically, it's to keep something away, but we hide for good reasons and we hide for bad reasons. Because of good or because of bad. People typically hide. The first instance of hiding, you know, when Adam and Eve jumped behind this tree or behind the fig leaf, they were hiding from God. It was a negative case. This is a positive case because she was pregnant now, but she's so excited and she's so full of joy. She's, I got to keep this quiet. I have got to put wraps on this. I can't let, I just need to get away. And so the scripture says that she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach from among people. God, he's so merciful. He feels the reproach when someone treats you wrong. When someone speaks a negative word that hurts you and me, he feels that. Jesus bore it on the cross. And so Elizabeth could say, thus has the Lord dealt with me when he removed the reproach off of me. Man. Verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God. In the sixth month of what? The sixth month of the year? No, the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. She hid herself for 5 months. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, here's what we notice, and I love this. When God was ready to reveal his son, God didn't tell anybody. He simply acted. Which, what I'm saying is, now obviously he told Mary because Mary had to bring him forth. But what I mean is, the events leading up to it, the activity, all initiated from heaven. And as Mary would bring forth the Christ child, and it was all the work of God, so when Christ comes forth in you and I, it is all the work of God. I know people say, yeah, I accepted Jesus Christ. I made him my Lord and Savior. No, you didn't. No, he made you his child. First, He made you his child. By faith, you received it. Now you understand. Your eyes were opened. And now you understand that you are a child of God, for which you are thankful. But you didn't sit down and break apart the revelation of the gospel and say, you know what, this, oh, this makes perfect sense. I'm going to get saved now. Oh, no. No, he opened, he was the one who planted the seed of the word of God into your heart and brought it forth, who breathed on it with the water of the Holy Spirit, germinated, and now fruit comes and salvation is realized. He who was born of the flesh must also be born of spirit. In actuality, man had no clue. No one knew that Jesus was even coming. Now, of course, there's Anna and Simeon that the Lord did as prophetic signs. But man didn't know. Other than that, man didn't know. We note here in the last account, as in the last account with Zechariah and Elizabeth, that God intervenes in the affairs of human lives to bring his will and purpose to pass. He intervenes in the affairs of human lives to bring his will and purpose to pass. Even now, as we sit here, God is orchestrating and fashioning things so that his purpose, with people that we know, with people that we see on TV and otherwise, God has placed them there and he is working to bring to pass his will and his purpose. That's important. Why? Because it goes back to Ezekiel. That will bring you rest. If you think that God has left everything up to you and I to do. I was literally had this business owner right next door to mine, literally comes out of his office from time to time when I'm out back working on one of my trucks. He'll come out. He says, Pat, I'm really upset about this whole political thing. Can you tell me what's happening? You know, what are we to do? You know, and I'm literally out back at my shop in the afternoon preaching a sermon. I'm literally. And I'm telling him, you know, hey, Daniel says that God rules in the kingdom of men. Now, but let me tell you that he's saved. He's a brother. So, but now listen, ultimately, you have to believe in the sovereignty of God, or you believe that he's not sovereign, and man down here running and tearing everything up. God, he hasn't any plans here. He ain't had any, you know, he hasn't planned for it, instructed for anything. And we're just at our own, and all of us Christians got to run to the polls, and we got to vote and everything. If we don't vote right, everything's messed up. Somebody said, well, but Pastor, shouldn't we vote? Yes. Don't we have a say? Yes. Well, how then does the will of God work with the will of man? That is a very intricate. That thing is so enmeshed in like together that you can't even pull them apart. You can't even see them. No one saw this. When you're reading Luke chapter 1, 2, 3, it is a straight up miracle. No one knows what's going on. Luke pulled the covers off this thing and said, listen, Theophilus, let me tell you what God did through Jesus Christ. And he snatches the cover off of the artwork and says, look at this. This is what he was doing when he came to Zacharias, when he came to this couple, this old worn out couple, had nothing. God said, here, blew on them. And life, I got myself a prophet, a forerunner. But you mean, but they're just living their life. Yeah, just like we're living our lives. You telling me God was all up in that? Yeah, just like he's all up in your life. He's working and orchestrating things. He said, well, how come I can't see it? You're too close. They were too close. They didn't know. But if you were to pull back out, if you were to pan back off that thing, you say, oh, my goodness. Let me help you a little bit. With age, you pan out. Some of you didn't get it. You didn't get that. See, with age, you get farther away, and you can look back on your life and say, oh, I see where God was doing that over there. And I see how he allowed this over here, and now I'm here. I'm not preaching anything new. Joseph did that. When Joseph's brothers showed up, he said, listen, you threw me in a pit. You sold me to the Amalekites, and I went down to Egypt. He says, but don't be upset with yourself because you meant it for evil. But as I look back on it, I understand that God meant it for my good. Hello. I'm telling you, as you walk and live with Jesus, as you grow old in him, you begin to step back up off the picture of your life and you begin to say, my God, he was there. He was there, 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 there. What am I worried about? What am I worried about? That's why young people need old people. That's why you need old saints to stand up, and they may be feeble and everything, but they say, I tell you what, baby, don't worry about it. Jesus got it all. He got it all worked out. You looking over there, Grandma, what you talking about? You can't even stand up straight. Grandma knows something. Granddaddy knows something. Come on, David said, I have been young, but I'm now old. But I'm telling you, I've never seen the righteous forsaking his seed out begging bread. He said, come to me, let me testify. Let me tell you about how good God has been. Right? And so God uses this old couple, this old Zacharias and Elizabeth can barely get it together. Huh. So God's working. Note that man has nothing to do with the birth of Christ except to respond to it. He has nothing to do with it. Joseph certainly has nothing to do with it. All we see when God gets ready to bring his son into the earth, he goes to Zacharias, he speaks a word. Zacharias responds wrongfully, now he's mute. Elizabeth, the women seem to get it right, guys. The women, Elizabeth all excited, you know, she's pregnant. Oh, the Lord. She didn't say, oh, I can't be pregnant. I must be old. I must be menopause. That's why I don't have my cycle. No. She said, whoa, I'm pregnant. I'm going to go hide. She's probably dancing around the house every day. Oh, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. Mary gets the word. She says, be it unto me according to thy word. She just receives the word, right? So man had nothing to do with the birth of Christ except to respond to it. It's the same thing today. It's the same thing today. What did you have to do with your birth? Somebody please tell me. What did you have to, how did you affect your being born? Thank you. The same is true in the spirit. What did you have to do with you being born again? Nothing. Nothing. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Flesh will beget flesh. Spirit will beget spirit. If the Holy Spirit does not come on you, you cannot be born again. If he does not initiate it. I was literally in a house not too long ago, cleaning. And I'm in this house, and I'm looking around, and everything in there, I'm praying, because I'm saying, Father, if you don't do something, they cannot know you. That was just ringing in my spirit because they were just gone. I mean, they're gone in every way. Just, and I was like, wow. And just reflecting back on, yet the Lord saved me, who was gone. Hello? Even though I was raised in the Baptist church, was still gone, right? And so as my mother's prayers and others' prayers affected me for salvation, I believe as I was standing in that house, cleaning the carpet, doing everything I was supposed to be doing, my prayers, I believe, will affect their salvation. So when God, I don't think I'm going to get through all this today. I keep preaching around it. When God was ready to have his son born, he sent his angel to a certain place and to a certain person. Angels were active at the birth of Christ. What I love about the birth of Christ to me is, other than the book of Revelation, angels were more active at the birth of Christ than any other time you look in the scriptures, period. It's just everywhere, just in association with man, coming, delivering messages, so forth and so on. So as angels were active at the birth of Christ, they remain active in the birth of Christ today in people's hearts. So in you and I, we hear of many angelic visitations to Muslims overseas. Showing up in angels, showing up in dreams, telling them, you know, go here, go there, and they get saved, right? We remember Acts chapter 10 when Cornelius and the angel came to him and said, send to Joppa, or send to, yeah, it was Joppa, to a city where Peter, call for Peter, he's going to tell you words. And so angels were very active when in the bringing people to a place, moving people to get them in position to hear the gospel. So he sends an angel to a virgin, a person that has no way of bringing forth Christ on her own. Sure, she can give birth to someone else without God's intervention, but she can't give birth to Christ without God's working, so it is with us. Every Christian is born by the will of God, John chapter 1. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Right? So then in verse 27, he says, he sent her to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now, what's so exciting to me about this passage of scripture, because is that it parallels or it mirrors what happens to you and I. What did Mary do for the angel to say to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. What did she do? And I will tell you, the answer is absolutely nothing. What, are you serious? Wait a second. But I want to be blessed in my life. I want to be, how can I be blessed? Come on, pastor. God, come on, preach it now. Because a whole bunch of people preaching about how to be blessed. I want to be blessed. I want to be highly favored. How do I do that? Do nothing. But pastor, you're not making sense to me. See, I'm preaching around the scripture now. I don't left the note. I'm not on it. But I'm going to go where I'm going to go where, with it for a second. Because I just got to share. Because it just bears repeating. It bears repeating. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you read Ephesians 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 3, and it comes to blessed, I challenge you to tell me what we have done to earn the blessing of God. What can I do? You know, you don't have to do anything. You already have it. You are already, listen, there are people who want to be blessed who don't know that they're already blessed. You're already blessed. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. Now, if they're seeking temporal, tangible, you know, blessing, then, well, you know, you can get that in a whole bunch of places. You can get it wrongfully, too. Come on, Gehazi got it wrongfully in the Old Testament. Ananias and Sapphira were going for it wrongfully, ended up dying in the New Testament. Come on, there are examples abound about, if you want the temporal stuff, you can get that. But Paul says that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Every means all. Every means God didn't leave any other blessings that he could bless you with. He didn't leave any out. We're blessed. And so here we're seeing in the life of Mary that this angel comes in and bestows something on her, God through this angel, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. That word rejoice simply means to be cheerful, be calmly happy and well off. That is that Mary should, that's what she should do because of what God is about to do in her and through her is rejoice. Rejoicing has its origin in and with God Almighty. Hello. Listen. See, because, beloved, we are growing in maturity. We're growing in maturity. Paul said when he prayed for the Ephesians, he says, I'm praying that the Father of glory would fill you with a spirit of wisdom and knowledge, spirit of wisdom and knowledge in him, in the knowledge of him. Now, here's the thing. You can be blessed, but not understand the extent to which you are blessed and always then be struggling because you're thinking that something's being withheld, you don't have, but that not be the case at all. And so as we walk with God, I'll tell you one thing that I've been blessed with. And he comes to me every now and again. And every time he comes to me and reiterates it, I think about Abraham, to whom he came in Genesis chapter 12 and says, leave your family, leave your country, go to a place. I'm going to bless you and blessing those. I'm going to bless everyone who blesses you, curse everyone who curses you. He said, go now. And then Abraham obeyed. And God would come back to him, and well, he made a covenant with him and said, yeah, I'm going to bless your children. I'm going to give you this land and all this. Abraham would walk with God. He moved to Ai, Bethel, and he went here and there. And he'd come back to Beersheba or Dan or wherever he was. And the Lord would show up again, and he would say, then the Lord would say the same thing. He says, in blessing thee, surely in blessing thee, I'm going to bless you. God would simply reiterate what he said so that Abraham could keep getting this. See, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you a son. God comes back again. He says, 9 months later, he says, I'm going to come and Sarah's going to be pregnant. She's going to have a child. Well, let me tell you something that the Lord has been saying to me. This is not, when I say the Lord saying to me, y'all understand, I'm not talking about written word. I'm talking about impressions. I'm talking about impressions in my own spirit, right? So the Lord comes to me and he says to me, son, I have everything taken care of. This is just the gist of what he would say. He said, you're in my hand. You're in my hand. And he would begin to like reason with me. Isaiah 1:19 says, come let us reason together, right? Does the Lord say, he says, son, do you remember when you bought the business? Yeah. You remember how you went for the loan? Mm-hmm. You were rejected. I said, mm-hmm. And then the loan was resubmitted. Yeah. And it passed. Uh-huh. You bought the business. Mm-hmm. You paid it off. Mm-hmm. And he just keeps going on and on and on and mentioning every need. And he says, son, did I take care of every need you have? Yes, Father. He says, well, son, what need that you have now and that's coming will I not take care of? And I'm sitting there going, yes, yes, Father. I hear you, Jesus. I hear you. And see, now what that does is it puts me in this place of walking around at peace, at rest. Something happened. Daddy, ain't you worried about that? Mm-mm. No, I ain't worried about it. Or aren't you worried? Well, because I've been walking with Jesus a long time. He done showed me a lot. He didn't show me a lot. It'd be the equivalent of 2 Chronicles 20 when Jehoshaphat stood before this army and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Jehaziel. He prophesied. He says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. And I'm sure there had to be maybe one or two people to cross there. Huh? Well, Jehaziel may have been young, but some of the older saints could have told him, I remember when. Had they been there. When the Red Sea opened up, children, he opened the Red Sea. Then we got to Jordan. He opened the Jordan. Then we got to the Amalekites. He destroyed the Amalekites. And on and on and on it goes. And then they look up at it. You see this great big old mountain? He's going to take care of this too. So when you're walking with Jesus, this is what happens, you see. Let me get back to this. I'm not going to finish this today, church. Everybody said, amen. I'm taking this one to Uganda, brother. A 4-hour message. Amen. Amen. So he said, you rejoice for you are highly favored. Same word, which would be used in Ephesians 1:6. This is what Mary has been made before God. Mary was chosen by God just as we were chosen by God. Ephesians 1:6 says that God has made you and I accepted in the beloved. Accepted. See, now, the reason why that is so powerful is that there's nothing that you and I could ever do that would make us accepted before God. But Jesus Christ makes me accepted. So, so when we pray in his name, we can go. We have access to the very throne of God. And not only just access, but feeling like a son while at the throne. Not just access, but a daughter and a son of God. Wholly accepted by God. Mary did nothing to deserve this status, being highly favored. We did nothing to deserve salvation that Christ died to bring us and being highly favored as well. The angel said, the Lord is with you. Again, please note, how does a person get God to be within? Someone please tell me, how do you get God to be with you? Let me give you the short answer. You don't. God doesn't go with anyone he doesn't want to be with. Which means if he's with you, it's because he wants to be. He chose you. He couldn't be with you unless he came to you, because Lord knows we definitely can't go. We couldn't go to him. We couldn't. He chose us. You know, I've told you oftentimes about, you know, for us guys, when you've been out and there's a basketball game, pick up in the neighborhood, and if you're good, the two captains said, well, give me this one. And another one said, well, give me this one over here. And if you're not picked in the first two or three rounds, sweat about to be, the sweat's running down your head, and you're sitting up there going, oh, goodness. And you know, you sitting here fidgety, because the reason why you're not chosen is what? Because you can't perform well enough. Why does a man choose you? Because you can put out, you can perform. Why does God choose you? It's not because of what you can do. It is because of what he has already done. So we're talking about two different kingdoms. When we're looking at this pastor, listen, remember the Mary song. Mary was lowly. Because if we were to study Luke chapter 2, where she sings this song, she says God reaches down to the dung heap, to the ash heap, and lifts those up. She knew. Come on. Do you know? See, sometimes we don't know we're on the ash heap of life. You can be on some people on the ash heap of life thinking they're proud and everything. Man, sit down. Don't you know where you are? God reaches down to the lowly and lifts them up. God didn't choose you and I because we had anything to offer him. He chose us because we needed everything he was and everything that he accomplished through his son. So just as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph did nothing to make God be with them, so Mary did nothing to deserve this special favor from God. Though she did nothing to deserve it, her response would mean a lot in her realizing its fulfillment. This is true with the gospel, right? We didn't do anything to deserve what God did to us, but you better know that our response to what he did has everything to do with our realizing it. Blessed art thou, or blessed are you among women. So let me go with two or three more verses, and then we'll stop. We'll pick up the rest next week. But in Luke chapter 29, it goes on, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Remember, Noah found favor with God in the book of Genesis to shed some light on that The scripture says he was perfect in his generations, but it wasn't because Noah had anything to offer God. He was perfect because God made him perfect in his generations. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. President Obama is coming to the end of his second term. One day, Queen Elizabeth in the United Kingdom will come to the end of her reign as a monarch there. But I love this, what it said about Jesus. He will reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And rightfully so, and aren't you glad of it? All right. So the angel and the message came from God. Therefore, Mary did not know what to think, since they were foreign to her. She's listening to this angel, speak to her. And two things come to mind. One, the Jews believed if you saw an angel, you would die. So that had to be factored into it. Remember Exodus 33:20, the Lord said to Moses, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And other instances. But also what the angel said to her, which was different from Zacharias and Elizabeth. What the angel said to Zacharias and Elizabeth was not impossible. It had been done before. Mary's troubled because the angel, what he says to her, is impossible. It has not been done. I mean, she's troubled because this angel's standing wherever in her room, wherever she in the house, wherever she is. But also the content of the message would have to do with her being troubled at his saying, the scripture says, as she considered what manner of greeting this was. Now, what we see here is that he says to her, "You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus." Then he begins to enumerate how Jesus is going to be. What we see then is that before God does anything through you, he has to do something in you first, right? And so he says, "You will conceive in your womb, and then you shall bring forth." Can I say that what was going on in Mary then is going on in you and I now? Paul said, "Do you know that Christ be in you, lest you be reprobates?" Colossians 1:27 says that Christ in you is the hope of glory, and that the Spirit of God came over Mary and created in her the seed of God, right? So he had to start something in her before he could bring something through her or forth from her. The same Christ that was born in Mary by the Spirit has been birthed in us. And guess what's going on? He's maturing. And he wants to live his life through us the way he came through Mary. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ wants to come, wants to live his life through you and I. So, as the scripture says here about him, he will be great. He will be great. You know, there are many things that you can do in your life that could be considered great. But nothing will be as great as what Jesus does through you. Nothing. Nothing will be as great as what Christ does through you. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Hallelujah. What does that mean? The one who's coming to you, Mary, and the one who's come to us, he's a king. He's a king, and he's coming to reign. He's a king, and he's coming to reign. That's what he's saying to Mary. When you think about that, you think about Christ in your life. He's a king, and he's come to reign. Is he reigning? Is he reigning in me? Is he reigning in you? Is what he wants, is what he desires being accomplished in your life? You say, well, I don't know what that is. Oh, I bet you do. You say, oh, I'm not that keen. Oh, you don't have to be smart. It's not about knowledge. It's about presence. And if he's there, he communicates his desires. Come on. And as we live according to his desires, I mean, changes everything. So he is a king and he is coming. And his kingdom will never end. We're talking about the church. It says he will reign over the house of Jacob. That's the church of Jesus. Israel, spiritual Israel. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. I'm gonna stop there, and we'll pick up with this next week. So let's stand to our feet. Father, we recognize your lordship. We recognize, oh God, that you came. Even though you were born in a manger, you came as a king. You came as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you have come to reign in us and through us. You've come to establish and have set up your kingdom, of which there will be no end. The government shall be upon your shoulders, the word of God tells us. And of the increase thereof, and this government, there will be no end. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that as we live this day, and the next week, and the next month, and indeed the rest of this year, and the next years that you've given us, Lord, that we would know what it means to mature in the reign of Jesus, to recognize, to hear the voice of the shepherd speaking, oh God. Lord, that our lives would be so aligned with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, with what you're saying and what you're doing, where you are taking us, where you're seeking to move us, oh God. Lord, not only what we move, where you move us, but then what comes out of our mouth, the words that you move, the inspiration, oh God, the life that you would live, both in our hands, what our hands would do, where our feet would take us, but then, Lord, with the words that you would speak through us. Help us to know, Lord, that you've come to rule in us, that you might, Lord, be a blessing through us to others, is my prayer. Bless your flock. Bless the house of God, the fold of Jesus now. Cause us to grow, Lord, and be made perfect in all the will of God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you real good.